Welcome to Onc Live On Air. I'm your host today, Ashling Wehner. Onc Live On Air is a podcast from Onc Live, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Onc Live covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, we had the pleasure of speaking with Martin E. Gutierrez, MD, and Laurie A. Leslie, MD, about the use of CAR T-cell therapy in hematologic malignancies and solid tumors. Dr. Gutierrez is the director of the Drug Discovery Phase 1 Program, co-chief of thoracic oncology at John Therer Cancer Center, Hackensack University Medical Center, as well as a professor in the Department of Oncology at Hackensack Meridian School of Medicine, both in New Jersey. He is also an associate member of the Thoracic and Gastrointestinal Oncology Program, co-chair of the Phase 1 Diseases Group, and co-chair of the Protocol Review and Monitoring Committee at Georgetown Lombardi Comprehensive Cancer Center in Washington, D.C. Dr. Leslie is the director of the Indolent Lymphoma and Chronic Lymphocytic Leukemia Research Programs at John Therer Cancer Center, Hackensack University Medical Center, as well as an assistant professor at Hackensack Meridian School of Medicine. In our exclusive interview, Drs. Gutierrez and Leslie discussed common barriers that institutions face when implementing CAR T-cell therapy programs, the early success story of outpatient administration of this modality at John Therer Cancer Center, and future considerations for using this treatment approach in solid tumors.
Hi, I'm Laurie Leslie. I'm a lymphoma attending at the John Therer Cancer Center in Hackensack, New Jersey, where I direct the Indolent Lymphoma and CLL Research Programs and also help direct research regarding CAR T-cell therapy.
And I'm Martin Gutierrez. I'm the co-chief of thoracic oncology for Hackensack University Medical Center, as well as the director of the Phase 1 program, Developmental Therapeutics at HMC.
What are some of the main reasons that many hospitals tend to avoid implementing CAR T-cell therapy programs?
So CAR T-cell therapy is a completely different type of therapy than we historically have used in oncology. You know, the backbone used to be things like chemotherapy, targeted medications, and CAR T is a form of immune therapy. It's a cell therapy, so it harnesses the patient's own immune system, and that's a living drug. And because of that, there's special, you know, regulatory things that need to be in place. There's a framework that needs to be in place to administer CAR T-cell therapy. And there needs to be a lot of education for all providers that might encounter these patients to know how to manage the both acute and longer term side effects or toxicities, particularly cytokine release and the neurologic toxicity, which is called ICANS. So you do need specialized training, and maybe that could be a barrier as to why some centers may not do CAR T. But I think as we've had CAR T available for lymphomas, at least as standard of care first approved in 2017, we've learned a lot about how to manage CAR T-cell therapy. We intervene earlier to treat or prevent these toxicities, and it's become something really routine at the John Therer Cancer Center and many CAR T centers, being expanded throughout lymphomas, including aggressive lymphomas, indolent lymphomas, and it's moving up in our treatment landscape. So it's increasingly important to be able to figure out how we can make this cutting-edge advancement in how we treat lymphomas and soon to be many other cancers available across many centers in the United States so more patients have access.
What has been the process of implementing CAR T-cell therapy programs at John Therer Cancer Center in particular, and what successes have been seen here?
We've implemented CAR T-cell therapy at the John Therer Cancer Center, I would say, in stages. So we were involved in many of the clinical trials that led to approval of CAR T. So we did have a lot of experience even prior to the initial FDA approval now several years ago. And it's under our cell therapy division, so we're a very large transplantation center as well, one of the largest in the country. So it was easier in terms of the framework needed to kind of fold CAR T under that cellular therapy umbrella. And the way it works here is many of the patients are cared for by the disease-specific providers. For example, I'm a lymphoma doctor. And then once they actually are admitted for the CAR T process, they're part of our cell therapy team on the cell therapy floor. One kind of misconception that many centers may have about CAR T-cell therapy is the type of patient that is appropriate for CAR T-cell therapy. So when we first were starting a program and doing clinical trials, the eligibility for someone that might be considered for CAR T was similar to what we use for autologous stem cell transplantation, in that age cutoff was, I mean, maybe around 65, certainly a very fit older patient up to maybe age 80 without any comorbidities occasionally is considered for an auto transplant. But really, we were looking at those younger patients. They had to have either no comorbid conditions or very well controlled minimal comorbid conditions to be considered. And as we've rolled out our CAR T program and gotten a lot of experience, not only at our center, but you know, throughout the country with CAR T cell therapy, we've gotten more and more comfortable at how to manage patients that maybe are older and are less fit. So there's many clinical studies that do not have an upper age limit in terms of CAR T. And I think doing CAR T cell therapy in 80-year-olds, you know, geriatric CAR T is a pretty common situation these days across CAR T centers. Patients that have comorbidities like end-stage renal disease on dialysis, we've done patients that have pacemakers, you know, that patient that I can think of with inherited cardiomyopathy and ejection fraction of less than 20% that's well compensated that we were able to take through CAR T. In a lot of the studies now, patients who are not fit, have a PCOG performance status of 2, are eligible for those studies. You know, as we rolled out our program, one of our main other points has been just to try to spread awareness and education that a lot of times people are really pleasantly surprised at the type of patient that is a candidate for CAR T. And it's a one and done treatment. So, you know, once the patients come, get whatever bridging they need, get their CAR T cell therapy. After that, there's hope for treatment-free observation that can be very long-lasting, potentially forever. So it's really something to strongly consider for a wide variety of patients.
We actually have approximately 400 to 600 transplants on a yearly basis. So we have a fantastic team, which has allowed us not only in the standard of care side, but also in the research side to expand our portfolios.
Can you describe the strides that John Theurer Cancer Center has made towards offering CAR T cell therapy in outpatient clinical trials?
The John Theurer Cancer Center and the lymphoma division, I can speak to in detail. We've been very involved with CAR T since the beginning, involved in the initial studies that led to approval in the third line large cell lymphoma. Given how effective that was, then we're involved in the pivotal study comparing CAR T cell therapy to standard of care high-dose chemo and auto transplant, which showed CAR T cell therapy not only improved progression-free survival, but overall survival in those high-risk relapse diffuse large B-cell lymphoma patients. A lot of this happened during COVID-19 pandemic, where it's a bit more complex to do things outpatient if someone's going to develop a fever. But now that that's a little better controlled, we are involved in studies that formally look at doing CAR T cell therapy in the outpatient setting without having patients admitted to the hospital about 10 days to receive their treatment. So I think that the success and the safety and efficacy of this study has helped us want to be involved in these efforts to bring it outpatient. So hopefully once that is more widely available, it may make the opportunity to start a CAR T cell program a bit more realistic for some, you know, centers that maybe would have a harder time doing all of these patients in a hospital. And in fact, these things have been so successful from a research perspective. We're also involved in clinical studies looking at CAR T cell therapy in frontline large cell lymphoma. And just to be clear, it doesn't only apply to large B-cell lymphoma. We also have approvals in follicular lymphoma, marginal zone lymphoma is being investigated further, mantle cell lymphoma is approved. So I think that the more approvals we have and the earlier it shifts into the treatment landscape of many of our lymphomas, it's very important to be able to make it a bit more flexible logistically so that a wider range of patients who are eligible will have access to the treatment.
How has CAR T cell therapy begun to make its way into the solid tumor arena, and what is the rationale for this?
So actually, the rationale starts with immunotherapy. Immunotherapy has really changed the landscape in solid tumors. And we actually started the story back before 2012. And obviously, with the approval of checkpoint inhibitors, there has been a tremendous effort to continue developing different immunotherapy maneuvers to treat solid tumors. So obviously, CAR T cell and T cell engagers is in that category of therapeutic interventions. We are behind in terms of the success story that compared with the heme malignancies, but clearly there has been identification of different targets, identification of different type of CAR T cells that has been implemented in clinical trials across different diseases. Examples of that has been HER2 diseases, and second example, prostate cancer, PSMA, pancreatic cancer, as well as another target is actually Claudin-18.2, which allowed also target a gastric cancer patient. So clearly, there is an exponential identification of targets in both areas, T-cell engagers and CAR T cells, that allow new clinical trials and in different diseases at this moment. We personally are, I can say we have participated in at least three of the solid tumor studies, if not four. One of them targeted actually HER2, the second targeted PSMA, and the third one targeted Claudin-18.2, and hopefully another one's coming very soon in the future.
I think in hematologic malignancies, CAR T is expanding beyond lymphomas quickly, and also CD19 has been the target of most of our CAR T cells, or all of our approved CAR T cells thus far in lymphoma. So looking at other targets, looking at mechanisms of resistance, are really the focus of a lot of our studies right now, and how even though CAR T is very effective for many patients, it's not an answer for all patients. So how do we identify patients that will not have a long-lasting complete remission after CAR T? And is there something we can do earlier, cell-free DNA or some sort of liquid biopsy, to help identify patients who are unlikely to have a long-term benefit and add something to consolidate, whether that's the bispecific T-cell engagers that we've mentioned a little bit already, or another agent to kind of fine-tune and have more patients achieve that potential cure.
Anything else that either of you want to say about what the future of CAR T-cell therapy looks like at John Theriot Cancer Center?
So from the solid tumor perspective, as I mentioned, we are in terms of the development, we are following the hematology experience as a science, perhaps. So we are actually seeing a significant increase in targeted identification of CAR T-cell development in solid tumors with different diseases across the board. So we would expect as the time goes by in the next year to two, would be just an exponential increase of new clinical trials that we would be able to open and offer to our population based on the new technology that is being seen in solid tumors.
What advice do you have for academic and community colleagues regarding overcoming certain barriers associated with implementing CAR T-cell therapy programs?
Reasonably, you know, not every center can be a CAR T-cell center. It does take a lot of resources. But the more that there are CAR T-cell centers, the more accessible it is to have patients referred. And it's very, very important for these patients to be evaluated early. So just keeping CAR T in your mind as something that might be potential for a patient and making sure early referrals are provided. You know, our practice here is I get a call about a potential patient that needs CAR T and we bring them in, you know, same day, next day, because it's not an immediate thing. So you have to get insurance approval, collect the cells, manufacturing. So any points at that where you can minimize the wait time, early referral, early identification, telemedicine in areas that aren't as densely populated as New Jersey is an opportunity just to get the patient's foot in the door earlier. So we can minimize any of that unnecessary wait to make sure that we get them to CAR T at the best time possible in their disease course, and also with the shortest time to wait, giving them an opportunity to potentially decompensate while waiting.
From our solid tumor perspective, what I would like to highlight is actually the effort and the resources needed, because we're still running the clinical trials and these are actually quite intensive and requires really, in our institution, we are very, very, very fortunate. We have very two large teams that collide together to be able to execute them. On one side, I have the support of our bone marrow transplant cell therapeutics team, with apheresis to inpatient admissions. And the other side, I have the developmental therapeutics team, our phase one program, in which we both collide together for just logistics and implementation. So it requires a huge amount of effort for an institution to be able to open and execute these type of studies, but obviously clearly necessary to be continued to provide really the next level of care to our patients.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive. On Facebook, like us at OncLive. And follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you like today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms, so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you are there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.